Blog Talk Radio.
And here we go.
All right, welcome back to That Nerd Show. I know you've missed us over the past couple of weeks. It seems like our shows are a little less frequent this year, but we have been really busy with different events, and we decided to get a show in before our next big event, which we'll tell you a little bit about. But anyway, I'm one of your hosts, Marcus Blake, and with me, I guess, hosting tonight is Alex Moore, who is our classic nerd.
Hello, hello.
And Brendan may be with us a little bit later, or he may not. We're going to leave that as an April Fool's type of joke and just roll with it. So also, I wanted to let everybody know out there that our Fact or Fiction Facebook event is still going on. I've posted a couple of things where you can determine whether it's fact or fiction. So I'm just going to go ahead and throw out a couple to Alex real quick before we get started. And you can try to figure out whether this is true or not. Fact or fiction? Sean Connery was the first choice to play the role of Gandalf in the Lord of the Rings movies.
Fact.
Yes, it was a fact. And the only reason he didn't is he turned it down because he didn't understand it. True story. And I think, as much as I love Sean Connery,
I don't understand the script. I don't understand the story.
Yeah. Sean Connery's great in anything. But I think Ian McKellen probably is the better choice in that.
It's hard to imagine anybody else playing that role at this point. So.
Yeah, pretty much is. And I don't think you would have gotten Sean Connery to come back for three more movies like you did Ian McKellen. So. All right, so here's the second thing that I posted. And only because this show hit Netflix, for anybody that grew up in the 90s, you remember the show Third Rock from the Sun with John Lithgow?
Yes.
Yeah, great, great show. I have forgotten how funny it really, really is. But here is your fact or fiction. Fact or fiction, James Earl Jones was the narrator of Third Rock from the Sun.
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I'm going to go ahead and say fact.
You are actually right. That is true. He didn't. I don't think he narrated all throughout, but during the first season when they had a narrator for the little intro, it was Darth Vader himself, James Earl Jones. So, yeah.
One of the more underrated actors of all time.
Yeah, you know, nerds will always think of him as the voice of Darth Vader, but he has done so many more things. He actually had quite a, you know, prolific career before he did the voice.
He had to overcome a lot too. He had a bad speech impediment when he was growing up, so the amazement of just how great his voice is, it came through a lot of practice and hard work.
Right. Anyway. So there we go. Two little fact or fictions for you. Okay, a few little news items that we wanted to get out of the way. Then we're going to do some all-con for you. First things first, and Kate, all you Deadpool fans out there, I don't know if you've heard, but it was announced that the new Deadpool movie with Ryan Reynolds will actually be rated R. So we're going to have a rated R Marvel movie. I think that's actually pretty great, personally, but, you know, I don't know how that's necessarily going to be. So, hold up one second. I'm going to take a quick call. And this is That Nerd Show.
Oh, yo, guys. I didn't even know you were going to take the call. This is the black dude listening to a bunch of nerds talk about stuff that that is totally uninteresting to me.
Okay. So you're just randomly calling into shows?
Yeah, I was listening through my phone. I had my iPad out, and I whipped it out and said, let me see what some nerds are talking about on a Wednesday night around 11 o'clock. And, Hey, can I ask you something since I'm on the line? Because I'm just curious.
Sure.
As far as, as far as you guys are concerned, and just nerds in general, but you more specifically. Now, you know the stereotype about nerds is you guys didn't have any sex in high school. You get beat up. You got beat up and stuffed in lockers and stuff like that. Any of that stuff true as far as you guys?
I'm sure it happened to some people. It didn't happen to me, but...
Yeah, same here. Something about Marcus, you actually were a football player at one point, right? You played quarterback.
Yeah, I played high school sports and was kind of popular, but, you know, was also nerdy and loved sci-fi and comic books, too, so.
Oh, so you guys were sort of normal, in quotation marks, when you were in high school, but nerdy as far as things that you're into as adults, that what makes you nerds, or what exactly is a nerd?
I'm confused by,
to be totally honest with you. That I'm confused by. I mean, what exactly
is... Well, that's a good question, Well, you go ahead, Marcus.
Well, we're nerds because, you know, we like comic books and science fiction and, you know, go to conventions and cosplay and stuff like that. That probably makes us nerdy, but I think it's a lot different than what it used to be. It's a lot more mainstream now. So you can be nerdy
about anything. To me, like, you know, I do sports broadcasting and I do writing, so I consider myself also like a nerd when it comes to sports and when it comes to the movies too, just because of the way I analyze it. It just has a lot to do with mentality and how you go about your interests, I think, also.
Right. Well, hopefully that'll answer your question, but you should stick around and listen to our show. We're going to be talking about some more nerdy things, including one of the conventions we just visited. So, anyway, thanks for calling in. Hey, Brendan, what's up?
Hey, guys. So, apologies for being late, but to answer that, I think the best answer for that guy's question is very simple. Simon Pegg said it best. Being a geek or a nerd is all about being honest with what you enjoy and not having to be afraid to demonstrate that affection. It means never having to play it cool about how much you like something. It's basically a license to proudly emote on a somewhat childish level rather than behave like a supposed adult. Being a geek is extremely liberating. And you can apply that to anything. You can be a geek about sports. You can be a geek about art. You can be a geek about food.
Yeah, total agreement there.
Right. We just tend to talk about comic books and science fiction movies and superheroes and cosplay and all of that. But we're all nerds for certain things. Oh, and by the way, for the athletes out there, wearing your sports jerseys on game day, that's just another form of cosplay. And Brendan
Absolutely.
And I should know because we wear our hockey jerseys with our kilts. So we're combining two.
Look at it this way. You know, fantasy football, fantasy baseball, that's just Dungeons and Dragons for jocks.
It doesn't get any weirder than that, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Get through a couple of items, and then we're going to get and tell you our thoughts about AllCon this year, AllCon here in Dallas. But anyway, yes, Deadpool, the new Deadpool movie will be rated R, so I think that'll probably be, make things very interesting and exciting.
Wow, Ryan Reynolds won that battle, huh?
Yeah.
I was thinking about it the other day, saying there was a lot of screaming in the office about it, but I want it to be rated R.
Well, I don't think we should be afraid of it. I mean, Deadpool is not a kid's character, and let's not pretend that it is. So, all right. A couple of other news items. For those of you that do like April Fool's jokes, I got to hand it to Vin Diesel, who is very much a nerd. And the little spoof they had about Fast to the Future, what the next movie would be. If you have not seen that little spoof of a trailer, you should go online and check it out. But from one nerd to another, my hat's off to you, sir. At that nerd show, we'd like to say, well done, sir.
Actually, the BBC had a pretty good one today about Peter Capaldi being fired for and when you find out why, it's for punching the Dalek statue. And so it was kind of a little jab at Jeremy Clarkson there, although I'm sad to see Jeremy go from Top Gear. And actually, I think Top Gear is just going to go bye-bye because I think the other two will go with him. But I don't know. We'll see.
Right. So anyway, check that out. Okay. So last bit of news items, and we're not going to do any quick gaming news only for the simple fact that we got to do one quick movie review and then, like I said, get on to AllCon because today is kind of a short show. All right. First of all, for all you James Bond fans, they did drop the teaser trailer to Spectra, the new James Bond movie, which will be coming out in November. And we still don't know who Christopher Waltz's character is, but as if you didn't know from the titles, Spectra is back. And all I can say is from a minute and a half of a teaser trailer, this movie looks just to kick right off from Skyfall and be very, very good. And we can't wait to beat our promo night and see that film. Also, for the Batman vs. Superman movie, there was an announcement that we will finally get to see a full trailer here in the month of May. And it will probably be accompanied by the movie. I just drew a blank on it.
Mad Max.
Thank you. I was about to say Fury Road. I'm like, oh. But anyway, yes, Mad Max, the new Mad Max movie. So we'll finally probably get to see a full image of what Ben Affleck will look like in the bat suit. And of course, we'll deal with all the nerd rage and say our thoughts well before the movie. But the big news item, and I think we already kind of knew this was going to happen, but it was officially announced, we will have a full Star Wars trailer here in the next few weeks. It will premiere at Celebration in Anaheim, which is, you know, going on April 16th, 17th and 18th. Anyway, it'll be going on that last weekend. Unfortunately, we will not be there because we are covering the Dallas Film Festival here in Dallas. But we'll be hanging out with John Landis and watching a screening of the Blues Brothers. Not as good, but still fun. They've also said, too, that I'm sure the full trailer will be online right after that weekend, even though you'll have shaky cam versions of all of it and stuff. And then, of course, yes, you will see the full Star Wars trailer with the Avengers 2 movie here in less than a month now. So there you go.
Yes. Yeah.
I know, and we definitely need to see this. Oh, and in case you were wondering, yes, it is true. You will see your first glimpses of the original cast in this Star Wars movie within the trailer. So there we go. Should probably go ahead and say that it looks like that J.J. Abrams will be directing Episode 9. Can't tell you whether that's a good thing or a bad thing until we see Episode 7. So there we go.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of torn on that because honestly, I would like to have three different directors like the original trilogy, but we'll see how it goes.
Right.
Although I just did see perhaps the greatest April Fool's joke yet. The Blue Angels will transition to unarmed or unmanned flying aircraft by 2018.
Nice. Wow. Skynet's taking over the planes.
That's right.
All right. Okay, so one quick little, two quick reviews. I attended the screening of The Woman in Gold, and it's basically an independent movie, and anybody that doesn't know it, it's based on the story of Maria Altman, whose family were art collectors and all that, and it's based off the fight to get back from the Austrian government, the Klimt painting, which was called Woman in Gold, but also Adele, based off her aunt. So for all you art historians out there, you know the story, but she had to go to court to win back the painting that was stolen by the Nazis during World War II and then basically forged with documents and given to the Belvedere, the main museum in Austria. Played by Helen Mirren, and then, of course, Ryan Reynolds was in it, who played the Rosenberg, the lawyer who fought, and their families had actually gone back generations from Austria. I will actually give this movie 8 stars out of 10 for the simple fact of just the two performances by Mirren and Ryan Reynolds. Great chemistry together. It was a different role for Ryan Reynolds. you know, something that we're not used to seeing. And he did kind of transform himself into a very kind of skinny, you know, nerdy guy who's not sure of himself and basically takes on this monumental case. Because if you know the story, they actually sued the Austrian government here in the U.S., because that painting was used to make money in books sold here in the U.S., and it went all the way to the Supreme Court. And then he got the right to go and sue the Austrian government in Austria and basically have all the money that it would have cost, which would have been about $1.5 million, to sue them. So it's a very interesting story about, you know, art, getting art back that was stolen from the Nazis. And if you liked the movie Monuments Men about a year ago, directed by George Clooney, then you will very much like this. But I strongly recommend seeing the film just because of Helen Mirren and Ryan Reynolds and their chemistry together. And of course, she's great in pretty much anything she does anyway. She's very feisty, and it's just, again, very low. Also, from a nerd standpoint, Tasma Malena, who from Orphan Black, she plays the younger version of Maria. And it's just very, very wonderful movie. So I give it eight stars out of 10. Definitely, you know, go see it. The other quick little thing, and we'll get more into it a little bit later, but for those of you that watch Black Sails, they just ended the season this Saturday. All I can say is, and we'll do more of a review some other time down the road, but wow, great ending. Season two was better than the second or the first season, and the way they ended it, you know, all I can say is there's no going back for these characters. And for any of you that doesn't know the story, it's 20 years before Robert Louis Stevenson's Treasure Island. It's what happens with all of these pirates and the beginnings of Nassau as kind of a pirate colony and the stealing of gold from, you know, a Spanish treasure ship. So you get to see John Silver and Flint and all of these guys 20 years before. And it just stars is great for their stories. You know, they did such a great job with Spartacus and just between the violence and degradation and all of that. Well, Black Sails, I think, is that answer, but setting it into, you know, the 18th century. And let's face it, where the Roman Empire was evil and took advantage of people, well, this time it's replaced by the British Empire, who just thinks they're better than everybody. And, well, there's a lot of historical lessons there. But it was very intense, very good, and I am giving it a perfect 10. And Toby Stevens, who plays Captain Flint in it, I mean, they're all great, but he just was fantastic. And if you don't remember who he is, he actually played the bad guy in the James Bond movie Die Another Day. Yes, the sucky one where they had the invisible car. But still, he was actually pretty good in that movie. So there you go. Two quick little reviews on things that you should check out. And we're going to roll right into Alcon. So I'm going to turn it over to Alex because you saw a lot more panels than Brendan and I did. let's start with, what was your absolute favorite panel? Obviously, besides ours that we all did together.
Yeah, that goes without saying. Well, I think we had a good time, and I think we had pretty good response from the fans who came out to view the paneling and have a discussion with us. So, the way I'm dividing this between the different shows, panels that I saw is that, you know, the mix, you know, between, you know, ones that were more on the educational side and the ones that were more on the entertainment side. And I have to say that while I didn't, the ones that were meant to just be more for entertainment, it was kind of a mixed bag for me. But if I had to be more specific about the best one out of those that I saw, I'd say it was probably the show, Sorry, I'm just having to reprogram my mind here. It's been kind of a while since we were at this thing. There was a show with a dance group, and they were from Austin, and they called themselves Sorbet. That was the name of their group. I don't know how they got it from. I wanted to stop by and ask one of them what their favorite flavor was, just to get an idea of what it was about. But not sure what that would have taught me about them exactly. But it was called the Kira Kira Maid's Performance. Sorry, and you know, it's kind of like listening to some Japanese anime music, and then watching some people choreograph, you know, dancing to it. It wasn't just straight up dancing though. They did have some choreography to it, and although the choreography itself wasn't necessarily anything to write home about per se, I think it definitely looked like they put a lot of effort into it. And be curious to see if they come back and if they are able to expand on the choreography that they did, because it looked like they had really put some thought into it, and it was somewhat entertaining compared to the improv show that I saw before that, which was, you know, I think the issue there was that it was a very young crowd and they couldn't do the adult version of the show, and so they kind of had to skimp on some of their best comedy that they could deliver. And for the most part, it was very repetitive and not very funny. But I wanted to get into a little bit about some of the shows I saw afterwards, because they got more on the educational side of things, but were very informative and actually very entertaining. And, you know, I was saying to you later on that night that if we ever go back to talking about games, card games, board games, we absolutely have to see if we can get a copy of the card game Dogwood. I'm sorry, I'm saying that wrong. The Red Dragon Inn, and I wasn't sure what to expect going into that, but it was an introduction, and it was basically like a after hours spoof of D&D, and it was a lot of fun.
You know, I've heard good things about this from, you know, more than one person, but actually from AllCon. I had never heard of this until I saw the, you know, name of the panel, and you were telling me about it, and then, of course, a couple of other fans were saying the same thing. I think this is the perfect example of why AllCon is a great convention and why we do it, because it is so much more fan-oriented, because it is the fans putting on the shows and talking about their passions and interacting with other fans. You do get some minor, you know, celebrities, and that's great. And you get a little bit more up close and personal with them, but you get to find out about this, you know, these kinds of games, like the Red Dragon Inn and everything, more than you probably would in other places. So I, like I said, this is the better parts of it, and we are definitely going to explore this more often. We're nerds, explore this game. We have to. I figure if we're going to call ourselves nerds, then we definitely need to do so. So, anyway.
And if we happen to get around to getting a copy of that game, we need to make it sort of a at home gamble, not necessarily gambling, but sort of it definitely would play out as a very good drinking game based on what I saw with the game. So,
might have to. I don't know, Brendan. It sounds like we might have to brew a special beer just for this game.
We need to call it the Red Dragon Brew or something like that.
Do a dry hopped Irish Red.
Pretty much, yeah. That sounds actually good, right?
Yeah.
There you go. Done. All right.
Easy. And we have to get it in big pint glasses, because on this show it comes in pints.
Aye.
Yes.
Yeah.
British pint.
Yeah, the imperial.
So.
Pint.
Yes,
what
yes.
would you say, not that all panels aren't good or everything, but what would you say that the improv was probably the most disappointing to you because it had to be more family friendly?
Well, yeah, that's hard to say. I mean, there were some parts of it that I enjoyed. You know, the opening routine was sort of a warm-up, if you will. And, you know, I think it was called the icebreaker game, and it was just kind of rapid-fire questions, and you know, they were trying to encourage a lot of audience participation, and you know, it was definitely a different generation from us. These are the up-and-coming nerds, if you will. They're still in high school and maybe early college. But I think we're the most interesting part that the segment that they had was called The World's Worst. And the only reason I say that I enjoyed it was because a couple of the topics they brought up were really up our alley. You know, they asked what's the world's worst video game, what's the world's worst movie of the 21st century, to be more specific. And whenever I tried to make any kind of a shout-out from the corner of the room, it was like it was falling upon deaf ears. And it kind of started to make me think, am I just getting too old for this? Am I being ignored because I'm not young enough? Or am I not, you know, in the same league with this new batch of nerds here or something?
Are you the old guy in a young kid's party? Is that what you're saying?
That was a bit what it felt like just in that moment. No other moment during the entire segment did it feel that way. But in that one moment, I thought, oh, my, wow.
Right. Well, there are two panels that kind of impressed me more than anything else. A, the Game of Thrones trivia Jeopardy game. And from reading the books and, you know, keeping up with the TV show, I learned that I am not that smart when it comes to, you know, Game of Thrones, or I need an appendix in front of me to remember. The shit they kept pulling out, I don't know how anybody would remember that much information. So that was actually quite entertaining. But they did have a whole little Jeopardy set up with buzzards and stuff like that, and it did turn into a little bit of Celebrity Jeopardy. Impressions and stuff. And with that said, it made it even a little bit better that for part of that, there was a guy running around in costume who is dwarf size. I mean, he's small. He's like 5'1", who truly embraced that he was Tyrion Lannister
or Tyrion Lannister.
And yeah, he had a full-blown, you know, costume and everything, and looked the part with all the best lines. So having him kind of involved with his little Jeopardy thing, I made it even better. So that was actually one of my favorites, even though I didn't really know anything. Also, what kind of a convention, besides just a straight Star Trek convention, can you go to and learn how to properly use a Klingon battle thing?
That much.
Yeah. Thank you. Which I forgot the name. But seriously, like an entire 45-minute panel on how to properly do that in tournaments and, you know, how to make one, all done by the actual master brewer of his ship club / fan club. That to me is the epitome of geeking out right there. I mean, because not only do you get tips for brewing, which was great because I had a chance to talk with him a little bit, but you also get, you know, all this instruction on how to use this Klingon weapon, which, by the way, if the zombie apocalypse ever happens, they will be useful tips. So,
sure enough.
For some of our live listeners, we're going to actually flip over more to the podcast, so you may not hear us, but you'll be able to catch up with the rest of the show afterwards. I just wanted to let you know, because we're still going on for another 15 minutes talking about Alcon. So, but, yeah, I don't know if any of you guys had a chance to be a part of that little panel and learn how to do it, or have ever seen that before.
No, I haven't. My favorite panel, though, it's very simple. It is the burlesque ladies.
I can't imagine why.
Well, you know, I mean, beyond the fact, the obvious, they were actually very cool and very funny, and they, you know, obviously there were some older creepy guys in there, and I thought they handled them with dignity and grace.
Are you talking about the History of Burlesque panel?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
But the two guys up front were kind of like little old creepy dudes that were just like stalker much. It's like,
that's like saying you read. That's like, Yeah, that's what you like saying. You read. You like to read Playboy magazine for these articles.
No, no, dude. These are the guys. These are the guys when you go to the strip club, know all the strippers and like what their schedules are. It was just a little creepy because they're like giving this girl's biography and like they know the schedules and it's just like, dude, you're kind of creeping me out. It's like, yes, they're beautiful ladies. Yes, they do. But they were actually very funny and they took things in good stride. And so they were really cool ladies. So, but it was a lot of fun. They were good people.
Well, and speaking of burlesque, it should be noted our blogger, Daniel, who was dressed up as Star-Lord, and he has a very good costume. Not only did he get some extra parts from the 3D printer guys, real cheap, including an earpiece and a little ball from the movie, but we corrupted him properly with that nerd show, and he saw his first burlesque show at AllCon. So, yay, Daniel! Well done, well done, sir. And speaking of that, you always think that it's almost a cliche now to get the Princess Leia in the brass bikini at a burlesque. You know, you want to be as creative as possible. So the woman who did Poison Ivy, I don't even remember her name because, well, her show, yeah, the name is not important. Right. Absolutely fantastic. That's
and
exactly
by the way,
where...
an Army veteran proving that there are hot chicks in the Army.
Well, she definitely had
rare,
yeah,
but it does happen.
Yeah, she definitely had all the fig leaves in the right places. The one that I just thought was impressive because there was a strobe light. So I want to put this combination together. A very curvy black woman, gorgeous black woman, with huge knockers, by the way, dressed up as Storm with a cape, with a strobe light, and all in rhythm against the backdrop of the strobe light, shaking her knockers and the cape, and on her nipples were X's, okay, and making it look like there was a tornado in the background between her boobs, the cape, and the strobe light. Well done. Well done.
I've always thought it happened figuratively, but I never knew that Marcus was literally given a vision by boobs.
It felt like I was on a mission from God. It would have done anything. But that show...
I have no doubt.
That show was absolutely incredible. I did not get her name, and I apologize to our audience for that. But again, it was just impressive and scientific. But yeah, Daniel got to see his first burlesque show.
The science you cared about.
Absolutely, it was the science I cared about.
Yeah.
So Alex, any other panels that were good?
Well, there was another one that I thought was probably the most, educational, like really educational of all the panels that I saw. And it was by this man who, I can't remember exactly where he flew in from, but his name was Seth Skorkowski, and the title of his panel was Things No One Tells You About Querying a Novel. And I wasn't sure what querying was, because I've never tried to have a novel published, but he laid it out very simply. It's, the process you go through when you're trying to get something published, writing the letter, getting in touch with an agent, and everything else. And, he's had a few books published, and he was very humble and thoughtful and had a lot to say and got a lot of information in there in a pretty short amount of time. And so for anybody who is interested in learning more about how to sweeten the deal when you're trying to close the deal, if you're trying to get a novel published, whether it be sci-fi or otherwise, fiction, nonfiction, whatever it may be, he had a lot of information on that, and I thought the information was so good that I thought, you know, maybe he needs to write a book about querying because it was very informative. I took a lot of notes. I'm not sure if I'll ever be published one day, but it's certainly something I've thought about. I think all of us have thought about in some shape or form. And so he had a lot of good pointers about what to do, websites to go to, things to do on Twitter. And a lot of it was common sense, but a lot of it was stuff that somebody would know if they've been published and have been going through the process for some time. So on an educational basis, I would say that that was the most fascinating and helpful out of all the panels that I saw for the evening.
I wouldn't doubt that at all. I mean, just, you know, the way the publishing industry, you know, has been and how it has changed so much, you know, there's people, that's the thing that agents and all and publishers don't tell you is, I mean, what you really have to do, and you are kind of just lost down the dark and learning everything the hard way. To have advice from people who have done it before makes all the difference in the world. So to have somebody like that come in and talk about it from all, you know, at AllCon, again, another great aspect of why this, you know, convention is fantastic. Because I don't know anybody that has done that at the Dallas Comic Con or, you know, other expos. And I don't know if anybody's doing that down at the Houston Cons. Do you, Brendan?
No, you know, I don't think so, but I could be wrong there. But when we're at the Houston Cons, we're more kind of in autograph mode. And I mean, we do a couple of the panels, but not too many. So it really depends on the day and the con, but we'll see what happens at Space City Con in July, because they haven't really announced much for that yet. So,
well, so a little bit of things to know about AllCon. Next year, it will actually be changing hotels. I think we have kind of finally outgrown the hotel. The Crown Plaza that we've been at. So it'll be going to the Westin over by the Galleria here in Dallas, which, you know, it's good to be able to outgrow your current place and stuff. One of the great aspects of this, especially with us shooting our documentary Jedis from Dallas, is I have to give a shout out to the 501st Legion and Rebel Alliance and the Mandalorian Merc groups for their help in interviews and stuff like that. Everybody was so warm and friendly, and we got some great little heartwarming interviews for the film. But to get things like that, I mean, yes, you see people dressed up at all sorts of conventions. You know, cosplay is very popular. But I think it also kind of depends on the type of cosplay. You know, everybody just doesn't dress up as stormtroopers and sand people and all that. I mean, you have a lot more specific types of costumes with, you know, these with the 501st groups. Well, which is also called it's the Star Garrison here in the Dallas area. But at the same time, the passions that people have for, you know, Star Wars movies. I mean, one of the guys that we interviewed has an old, I think it's like a 95 Firebird with the new painted with the new colors of the X-Wings from Episode 7 and an R2-D2 unit top part in the trunk who was driving around. Had another member who spent under $1,000 and 100 man hours building a remote control life-size R2-D2, who was there for a couple of days. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yeah, I saw the R2. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah. But to be able to interact with these people, I mean, there's a reason that we go to these to more fan-oriented conventions.
Yeah, so, the smaller cons are great.
Yeah.
And Aaron and I discovered this in Houston, and you know, here with AllCon and with ACon and SplatterCon and some of the other ones, you know, you just the direct access you have to the guests, the vendors and everything, and it's not so regimented and so regulated as the bigger cons. You know, you might get to say hi to a guy at one of the bigger cons. You know, at Space City Comic Con down in Houston, I sat drinking with Gary Graham, who is Ambassador Sobol on Star Trek Enterprise. I was sitting there drinking whiskey with him for like 2 hours. You know, I've drank with J.G. Hertzler, who played General Martek on Star Trek DS9, two or three times now. You know, the access that you have, I got to hang out and have drinks with Jewel State and Bob Picardo. I mean, come on. The access you get at these smaller cons, it's just phenomenal. You get to actually get to know these people, and they get to know you, and you see them. They come back to these cons. I think a lot of them come back to the smaller cons for that very reason, because they get used to seeing the same faces. Because I'm at the point now, my wife and I, J.G. Hertzler recognizes us when he sees us. So, I mean, that's just awesome.
Well, I you're right. And getting back to cosplay, we're not huge cosplayers ourselves, you know, on this show. But to talk with the people and about the level of detail they get on everything and what they put together and going to other conventions and of course, meeting, you know, celebrities and stuff. A woman that I met this at AllCon was telling me about her experience, you know, dressed up as a female Captain Jack, and when she got to meet John Barrowman, which you've met John Barrowman now,
yeah,
Brendan.
Yeah, he's hysterical.
And, yeah, I mean, everybody, I've never heard one bad thing about him.
Let me tell you this John Barrowman story real quick. So I took a picture with John Barrowman last year at Comic Palooza in Houston. And so we go to take the picture, and he puts his hand on me, and he kind of grabs my chest. He goes, "Is your wife going to be mad that I copped a feel?" I said, "No, she'll probably be flattered."
Well, you know, getting to meet people like that, where you talk about where it's not so regimented and you can really get to know these people and, like you said, share a drink with them and all that, you just don't get that anywhere else. The people that the celebrities that were at AllCon, you know, they're minor celebrities. You know, Doug Jones, who, you know, is, you'll never really recognize him from movies because he's always got some kind of makeup on. Steven Cassiano, who, you know, was in Return of the Jedi, played one of the, you know, Jabba's guards, and got a lot of wonderful stories about, you know,
one of the Gamorreans, yeah.
Yeah. And actually, some of the insider information that you find just by chatting with people, excuse me, one of the things I found out from one of the guys that, you know, had been in the Walking Dead series is, you know, they are not using any cast whatsoever, even people that were dressed up as zombies, for the new spinoff series that's starting this summer. It will be completely, because it's set in L.A., it will be a completely new series. Or, I mean, you know, cast and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, little tidbits. And then, of course, you know, hanging out and drinking with everybody in the hotel bar. I look at things like a convention like AllCon is, if you want to meet people from all walks of life that shared the same passions, you know, friends that you will meet for a lifetime, which Brendan and I have great friends that we met just by accident last year, and had a great time being with them again this year, and drinking and all that and getting to meet more and stuff. But it's almost like you put a convention on just to have one big nerd party just to share your passion for one weekend. But one thing I will say before we're going to close this out is, for those that put on the StalkerCon, the Walking Dead convention, the same weekend as AllCon, you guys should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, pick another weekend. Do it the next weekend. Do it the weekend before. Just don't do it the same weekend. We want to do both.
Don't compete with both. There's enough to go around for everybody, and that you're not in the true spirit when you do that.
Just a quick note on the cosplay. Some of the people that we know, they're friends of ours, Nikki and Josh Powers. I'm going to give a shout-out for Nikki's business here. Nikki and Josh are both members of the 501st Star Garrison in Texas. They also have their own cosplay business called Dreams 2, the number 2, Seams. Go on Facebook, look for Dreams to Seams. If you want to get a cosplay costume going, Nikki is the person to do it for you. Her Bruce costume
Absolutely.
And his Boba Fett costume are amazing. They are cinema quality. So they do anything from Jedi uniforms to Imperial uniforms. They do